Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. A little bit of a shorter program today. We'll be done in about an hour and 20 minutes as we got to get out of here early for Cardinals baseball tonight. The Cardinals open up a series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. 8:40 for first pitch. That means our coverage will begin at 7:45. Right now, very happy to be able to go to the Quiver River Electric guest line. Welcome on one of our favorite people to talk baseball with. He is Maury Brown, senior contributor with Forbes Sports. You follow him on Twitter at BizballMaury, BizballMaury. Maury, appreciate you taking the time with us today. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Matt. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. You've been all over and tweeting throughout the day as some of this news has come down regarding the Shohei Ohtani situation. I like a conspiracy theory as much as the next guy, but the more information that comes out and the more details that come out certainly leads to quite possibly when Shohei is saying that he didn't know any of this was going on, that seems like maybe there's some more credibility and truth to that.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, it was always going to be a situation to where, yeah, there were some legitimate questions. I mean, I think the average person wonders how money comes out of their account and they don't get notified. You know, most of us have, you know, consumer protection or whatever it is. And then to have such large sums of money happen, that adds even more to it. But I always erred on the side of this thinking about how it is in the entertainment industry. I mean, it's not uncommon for public, you know, for public facing people, for assistants, for others to have access to information that we as common people may never dream of. And so I always wondered about that. And when we find out that he just simply went in, had access to his bank account, turned transaction notifications off, you know, portrayed himself as Shohei Ohtani when he called the bank and whatnot, it does look like it. And I've read all 37 pages of the investigation, and it really does look like, you know, unless something, of course, otherwise appears from further investigation or from Major League Baseball's investigation, that, as he said at the outset, Shohei Ohtani is a victim here and really nothing more.
There's going to be people who hear that and they still remain very skeptical and don't see a scenario where Ohtani wasn't involved. But you mentioned you read all 37 pages and there's a lot of text messages in there. And there would have to be a conspiracy involving, you know, governmental agencies and law enforcement and baseball and everybody for this to all kind of be put together in a false manner.
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference here is that, you know, certainly we can armchair investigate this thing all we want. I mean, even investigative reporters, right? I mean, ESPN obviously gets credited with a lot of this. They discovered this for the most part. But really, I mean, stuff like, you know, forensics that are done on, you know, cell phones and being able to look at private messaging apps and whatnot that are part of this investigation. And, you know, again, I just don't see it. I mean, there were thousands of text messages and looking at call logs and call information and call recordings, of course, that came into the bank and whatnot. I mean, they just looked at it and said, no. I mean, if there had been anything, you know, anything in there that said, screamed, hey, he's part of this thing, I think that it would be a different thing. But everything from what we see in this report really does make him look like a victim. Again, I think the biggest thing that comes out of this thing, Matt, is that, you know, I think that there's some naivete about this stuff. You know, you get an individual that's with you, that's your interpreter, that becomes more than your interpreter. He really starts, you know, doing things like running errands and doing stuff, and that you really can't trust anybody. I mean, I think that's the unfortunate discovery out of this whole thing. Shohei Ohtani already had kind of an interesting wall up around him already. And my fear about this is that going forward, he will become even more isolated as this kind of thing happens. He's been a victim. It's obviously damaged him in some way. We're still going to talk about this thing. And again, you mentioned it, as conspiracy theories are, no one is going to be satisfied.
No.
There will be someone out there that will simply say, you know, yeah, this is just all part of the plan.
This is kind of a sidebar, but Tisha Thompson's the ESPN reporter who's been all over this, and she was involved in the investigative reporting of the Washington Commanders. She's one of the few really investigative reporters that's left at ESPN, and as we continue to see downsizing in the journalism and media business, I feel like her work just shows you the importance of these people still being out here and looking for stories like these.
It's critical. And I would go even farther, Matt. I mean, this is something, you know, that doesn't speak to just sports. When we sit there and we look at your local newspaper, right? If you look at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, it's imperative that that paper stays alive and other, you know, smaller newspapers, because your local investigative journalism is what undercover, you know, digs up corruption and whatnot. And it has been shown time and again that as investigative reporting goes away, corruption tends to surface and become more prevalent. Would make sense. You know, nobody's looking over your shoulder. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I really do think outside the lines and everything that was going on at ESPN, it's difficult, right, that investigative journalism like that and hard-boiled reporting has gone by the wayside as we go and look to stuff like, you know, talk television, you know, or talk radio, where that becomes a lot easier to do hot takes than do something hard-boiled like they're doing.
Sports leagues have gone all in with gambling, and this is a little bit of a leap from me, but again, we're seeing gambling and sports come together in this story. There's been a lot of stories here recently about whether or not some athletes have potentially thrown games, especially when it comes to the sport of basketball. There's so much money to be made, and we know these leagues and these teams are going to do anything to make money, but then you start seeing the bad side of it. I know you've been looking at the business of sports for a really, really long time. How do you see the future moving forward where this can get a little bit more under control and there's not this feeling of some not-so-great things going on behind the scenes?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, I mean, this has so many far-reaching tentacles that I think it's moving faster than a lot of things that are moving so fast. It's difficult for everything that touches it to get in front of it. And by that, I mean, here's a prime example. I'm a member of the BBWAA, and we had to sit back and go, this is an important matter. You know, reporters that have inside information in the clubhouse, how do we ensure that there's policies in place as baseball writers to ensure that that information isn't used by either reporters or potentially leaked out in other ways or written about that influences betting lines? It's become so difficult and so intertwined that unwinding it almost makes it impossible. And the leagues are not going to walk away from this thing. I think the unfortunate matter of this is that it's revenues. They're huge revenues, especially for football and basketball, that it is just going to be impossible for it to go away. Now, the leagues will say this. We've got rules in place that say really straightforward that if you're a team exec, if you're a league executive, if you're a player, or if you're personnel around any of that stuff, and you're caught gambling, there are going to be repercussions. In baseball, there are repercussions with suspensions of up to a year or maybe longer if you're caught betting, but it's not on baseball. And we know what happens if you bet on baseball. You wind up being Pete Rose. And that was the concern here with Shohei Ohtani. But again, it's one of those situations to where that on the surface of it looks like such a simple thing, where again, it's just almost impossible to get away from it. I think it's a very legitimate problem. The billions of dollars that are being wagered by people is always going to provide an angle for somebody to try and get in there and influence outcomes. I mean, there's just so much money involved in it.
Absolutely, 100%. Before we get you out of here, I want to talk through the uniform situation a bit. Nothing has changed. There was some speculation that maybe Nike and Fanatics would find a way to fix the uniforms a little bit before the season got started. That hasn't happened. I know the Cardinals don't have their full assortment of uniforms yet. A lot of teams across baseball have not yet received everything. There was another situation the other day where someone slid and the pants just, you know, split wide open. Is this something that could be fixed this season, or is it going to take until next season and beyond for there to be a true fix on this situation?
Well, they got to get it fixed now because we shouldn't be talking about it. A lot of times what happens with this stuff, Matt, is it's the run-up, right? It's the off-season, whether it's a rule change, you know, the pitch clock, whatever it is. And then once the season starts and people get used to it, it goes away. Well, you're not getting away from this. And when you see a guy's pants split down the seam sliding into a base, and that's significant. It's embarrassing. So something has to get handled now. I mean, the league can only continue to sit there and say, well, you know, they're working on it and these things happen and blah, 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 or whatever they're going to try and redirect on it. It just looks terrible. So I can get into the materials. Okay, you want to do that. Then you're going to have to do something with the quality of building this stuff out. I imagine, God willing, that this thing is all handled before much longer. It just cannot continue to go on. If we're still talking about this in August, then I'm going to say, you know, there's going to be a mountain of stories. People, it'll be all anybody's talking about. And that's the last thing Rob Manfred or Tony Clark with the Players Association or the players want to talk about. They want to talk about the games. They don't want to talk about uniforms, and if they can help it.
What's incredible is there's a million photos on Twitter where you see the fan jersey where a fan is wearing a previous jersey versus one now, and just from the aesthetics on the back, it looks so much better what was before, and it's amazing that nobody ever like did that and compared just how it looked.
I'm sure that somebody sat there and did. Look, there's no way that thing didn't go through 1,000 meetings. Somebody saw it. And I don't know why or how anybody sat there and said, you know what, fans just won't notice, or they'll get over it, or they'll move on. It's bad.
Yeah.
It really is bad. I mean, if the idea is that you're trying to make, you know, what is considered, you know, in the top four major leagues in North America look cheap, then that's what's happening here. It just makes it look Bush League. It just is not something that you want to see. And again, it's a total embarrassment. That the design factor is absolutely something that should not have happened. The lettering especially, either the size of it, which has gotten smaller, or how it's applied, it just looks bad. It looks cheap.
It looks very cheap. Moore, we always appreciate your time. Have a wonderful weekend. We encourage people to follow you on Twitter, BizBallMoore. Read you at Forbes Sports. Thanks for the time, and I'm sure we'll catch up again real soon.
All right, Matt, you have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That's Maury Brown joining us here on the program, one of my favorite people to be able to talk to. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk some City SC soccer. We don't have a City game until Sunday this week. They're going to play a Sunday afternoon contest, but we'll talk some City SC with Danny Higginbotham. He's going to be on the call for the MLS season pass up, the Apple TV MLS season pass, and he'll join us coming up in just a moment or so. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.